And then they found out that there were like five or six other incidents that happened that same day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Can't leave your kids anywhere.
Nope.
Not even in the happiest place on earth.
Except in a locked car.
Well, in the blazing sun.
Yes.
Let the heat sort it out.
Yes. If God wants them to live, they'll live.
Yeah, something like that.
The Ant Monkey Dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm freezing my ass off.
Poor thing. Well, we got a cold snap too.
Yeah.
It's only 70.
Yeah. It was 32 here last night.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You enjoy that.
Yeah, I had to turn my heater on for the first time last night.
Ooh.
It sucked. Just hear it running and it's like, oh, just want a decent power bill for once.
Right.
So yeah, it's really cold. There's a day this week that it's only going to be in the upper 40s during the day.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No,
on Wednesday, it's going to be 49. It's going to be down to 28 Tuesday night. If you want to come up and, you know, spend some time.
Yeah. No, here. I'm good. Thanks. I'm good.
Okay, fine. Be that way. Just offering.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Winter has officially arrived. We bypassed fall pretty hard.
Do you have your tree up yet? Have you decorated for Christmas?
Okay. The tree is up. It's not decorated yet because this house likes to do... themed trees.
Okay.
And for the last several years, it's been a Frozen theme. And this year, it is a Harry Potter theme.
Okay.
So, because it's a new theme and planning needs to be done on where things go and shit like that, the tree's already up.
Okay.
So, yeah. Which is interesting because... we have a guy coming tomorrow who we've had an issue with like wasps in the fireplace because I guess there's a nest somewhere in the chimney and they come like flying out and into the house. So he's coming to fumigate that room tomorrow, and the tree is in that room. So we will see what happens.
Hmm.
Guess the tree will get fumigated.
Yeah.
Yeah, home ownership. It's such a treat.
Yes, it is.
My next house I'm renting. Fuck this.
Well, I will give you the recommendation of not using the company I use. Because once again, the air conditioning has broken down.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's three times this year. And it wasn't even that hot.
Are they just replacing parts instead of replacing the system?
They put a leak blocker in and then recharge it.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they don't want to spend any money.
Right.
They told me when I last renewed my lease that they could be charging me a whole lot more. And I said, yeah, and if the place had been maintained right, it would be worth more.
Why do people do that? Why do they feel like they need to scare tactic somebody who's signing a lease with them?
Because we live in a world full of assholes.
I get, but like, seriously, like you're a good tenant. You probably never missed a rent check or been late or whatever.
Nope.
Like, they could be in a whole lot worse position.
Sure.
Like, they should be grateful that somebody responsible is living in that house and not fucking Joe Redneck and his 13 kids.
Right.
You know, fuck these people, man.
Yep.
Whoa.
Oh.
Don't mind me.
You all right there?
Yeah. Everything's okay. Yeah, everything's fine. Shit just fell over in the desk. It's all right.
Oh, no.
Too much shit. It's all good. Anyway. So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't get that whole, like, scare tactic thing.
Yeah. Well, and when I talked to them at the beginning of the month, I told them that last month I had a ridiculously high water bill.
Hmm.
And they're like, oh, well, maybe you've got a broken sprinkler head. I said, no, I would know if there's a broken sprinkler head because my neighbors would complain.
Right.
There were 6 days where I was using 1,200 gallons of water a day.
1,200?
1,200 gallons of water.
And then it stopped all of a sudden?
It did. Now, it seems to correlate with days I was running the sprinklers.
Okay.
But I only run the sprinklers for like 5 minutes each quadrant.
Okay.
So all I can think of is that there's an underground link somewhere.
Right.
Because now the driveway has started to buckle.
Oh, fuck.
So it's been, what's today? Yeah, it's been almost 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And nobody's come to look at it. And I can't use the sprinklers because I'm not going to pay a $200 water bill again.
Holy shit.
When my water bill is usually 20.
Right.
You know, just one of those things.
So I was going to say, like, if it stopped all of a sudden, maybe, like, your neighbors were sneaking into your backyard with a hose.
Well, see, I was wondering about that, too.
Like, filling up a pool or something.
Yes. But it's, like, every other day.
That's
weird.
And
that was my watering cycle.
Okay.
And usually we get enough rain that I don't run it that often, so.
But 1,200 gallons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like you're just dumping water at like full bore out of like a pressurized hose for like an hour, right?
Yeah.
Like 1,200 gallons is ridiculous. Like, I couldn't imagine you doing that in 5 minutes.
No, I can't either.
Weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just one more thing to deal with.
Well, I mean, you just tell the rental company, look, you're either going to fix that or you're going to come fix the driveway.
Right.
Because when the driveway buckles and like collapses in on itself, like, where are you supposed to park?
Well, I just hope there's not a sinkhole.
Oh, yeah, true.
So, you know, if you don't hear from me after today, you'll know I've been sucked into hell.
You're already there. It's called Florida.
Yeah, well, it's a nice day in Florida today.
Is it? It's a nice day in hell?
Yes, it's a nice day in hell. Yeah, so anyway,
yeah,
what's going on?
Not too much.
No?
No.
Oh, all right.
No, I've just been watching some TV and...
Yeah.
I watched what the
ice cream truck. Twinkle, twinkle, little.
That is a literal ice cream truck outside.
It is.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what that is.
I thought by law they were supposed to play Pop Goes the Weasel.
Oh, really? Here, wait, let me check my ring. Yeah, I couldn't figure out what that was, and then the ring went off saying that there was motion out front. So I am assuming so they pick a day where it's fucking freezing out.
Yes.
Yep, that was an ice cream truck.
Wow. Okay.
So
go outside for a $7 bomb pop?
No.
Okay.
No, so just to reiterate how stupid people in South Carolina are is that they only sell ice cream when it's cold out.
And I bet there's a line.
Probably. I mean, these are the same people that elected that douchebag Lindsey Graham in the office, so, you know.
Yeah.
Fucking sniveling weasel. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. So what you been watching?
I've been watching the usual stuff. I watched Watchmen, which you haven't seen on HBO, yeah. Which I don't know if we discussed this, but up until this last episode, I was like, well, it really doesn't have anything to do with Watchmen besides the name. And they hint at other things that are going on. But this one was full, like, characters from the movie and the comic books that you would have known coming back into, like, the fold. And it's got a really interesting premise now, and I'm kind of interested to see where it goes. But I do feel like the first two episodes could have been condensed into like the first 5 minutes of this episode, because they basically go back over everything and kind of give you some insight into what you've been seeing. And it was like, well, why couldn't you just do this as a 5 minute explainer in the beginning of the first episode? And then that way you can just jump right in to the action if this is where you're going with it. Because there's only like 8 episodes. So they've kind of wasted 2 of them already.
Huh.
So it's interesting. Jeremy Irons, they put him in a superhero outfit this week, and he does not look good on him.
Okay.
Like, I don't know whether they just went and they found one laying around and said, well, just put that on him. But like the domino mask thing that he's wearing doesn't quite fit.
Okay.
And, I mean, I don't really think it's a spoiler because I think it's all over the internet, but he's playing Ozymandias.
Okay.
And in the movie, he's the guy that plotted to destroy the world. And he killed a whole bunch of people in order to do it. He's the guy that kills the comedian and whatever.
Okay.
And they put him in like this Ozymandias outfit with this silver domino mask, and like, Ozymandias wears like a Roman crown of holly or whatever that thing is called. You know, those like.
Yeah.
So he's got one of those on his head with the mask, and like, he's not like in the best shape. So it's.
Well, he's like, really, what, 70?
Yeah. But I mean, if you look at him in Watchmen and you look at him in Justice League, like, it seems like a completely different person, because in Justice League, he's like moving around and doing all this shit. And like, I don't know. He just doesn't look good in the Ozymandias thing.
Huh.
So, and then I watched Batwoman.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm trying to remember what happened in that one, because they're kind of forgettable.
Yeah, unfortunately. I believe that Alice did something.
Is this the one where
they went to the house?
Yes, it was Alice's brother, I guess, is what they're going to call him. So is that supposed to be Mad Hatter?
Well, she calls him Mouse. So maybe he's the Dormouse.
Is that a villain?
Well, no, he's just a member of the gang.
Oh, okay. Because they kept saying, she kept calling him brother.
Yes.
Towards the end.
Well, because when she was kidnapped by the creepy guy in the woods, he was the guy's real son.
Right. Who could like throw his voice and or do like mimicking stuff.
Yes.
But you know, typically in Batman, like the Alice in Wonderland character is the Mad Hatter.
Right.
And then I want to say on Gotham, he had a sister named Alice.
He did.
Okay. So that's why I was thinking maybe they're doing that here with like the twist of Mad Hatter is more like behind the scenes and not so much up front, and Alice is the one that's like perpetrating it all.
Right.
But yeah, it was kind of gross with like the cut off faces and
yeah.
Do we really need that? I don't know. There is a mouse man that is a, I guess it's a Wonder Woman villain who literally dresses up in a mouse outfit.
Oh, the mouse man and squirrel girl.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway. So, yeah, I watched that. I don't know how many more I'll watch. Like, I really feel like after the crossover is done,
mm-hmm.
I may just be down to the Flash.
Okay.
Because I don't... And I'm only going to watch the Flash because I've watched it for this long at this point. Because I'm the only thing I like about the Flash is the Harrison Wells thing with him searching for the monitor. That
yes.
He knows something's up. He's trying to find him. I kind of felt like this was almost a bottle episode of like, having to deal with Gypsy's death.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah, and like, he's vibing, but he's not really vibing. And like the thing right. where he like woke up and he was trying to cut off his hair. And I was like, okay, like they're trying to save something here because like this was the one where Grant Gustin is only in the beginning and the end.
Yes.
And then you spend a whole lot of time in one section of the underground thing because they're trapped. And you're like, oh, okay. They didn't,
yep.
they didn't
yep.
know what to do for this. So, yeah, maybe it's just getting too much. Maybe there's too many of these things.
Yeah. And of course, Arrow was interesting with the future Team Arrow shot back in time.
Yeah, I thought that was, you know, one of the problems that I've always had with Arrow is this thing of like the team's got to keep secrets from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Arrow has worked really hard to get past that. And like two people have a problem, they confront each other and they work it out and they move on. Mm-hmm. And this now you've got this group of people who don't really trust the people from the past and
right.
they're hiding things with what's his name's daughter being killed?
Diggle.
No, the mad, not Mad Dog. What's his name? Is it Mad?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Isn't that his name, Mad Dog?
Is it? I don't remember. But his daughter being killed, but then they tell yep. him that he's going to be mayor. And it's like, well, wait a minute. You're corrupting the timeline here, but you're not going to tell him about his kids so that he can try to like, I don't know. It was all their rules of time travel are kind of fucked up.
They're whatever serves them.
Yeah. And you know that nothing follows suit in the DC TV universe because you've got Flash and that will tell you that like you can't mess with time or time messes back.
Right.
But then you've got the people in the Wave Rider who are going to all points in history without any consequence. You got right. Arrow people traveling in time without consequence. And it's just like, okay, so much for the unified universe theory.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And I'm just not a big fan of the whole multiverse.
No?
Just stick with this time period. I don't need to see another planet Earth where people sort of look like people on my Earth, but they're totally different people. And yeah.
Yeah, you don't like that? You don't like the slight differences between things?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I think if they wanted to do that, they should just do Elseworlds.
Well, they've done Elseworlds, and they're like that's the whole point of the crossover.
But that's not Elseworlds. Elseworlds is like when they go back and it's Batman as a pirate.
Oh, you're talking like the what if? things.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, there was a series of comics called Elseworlds.
Right.
There was one that was kind of Sherlock Holmes with Bruce and Selina. But you know, that's all it is. It's just one story. It's not, okay, and then this crosses over here and affects that, and because of that, this happens over here. It's just too much to think about. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well. So you didn't,
whatever.
You didn't think they did a good job in Elseworlds last year in the crossover when Barry was Green Arrow and the Green Arrow was the Flash?
Oh, that was last year?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was this year.
No, that was last year's This is Crisis on Infinite Earths.
And last year was Elseworlds. Crisis.
The year before that was Crisis on Planet X.
That's it. Okay. Yeah, they're all blending in.
It is amazing how quickly they come. And then you're like, holy shit, yeah. That was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago was the invasion where they were all in the what would end up being the Hall of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
That Barry owns. It's part of Star Labs, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope that the crossover works and it's worth it. But we shall see.
That's it.
I don't know if you saw this news. It just kind of popped up. But a 13-year-old actress from Saturday Night Live just passed away.
Yeah, I kind of glanced at that.
Oh, she died on the 5th. And then her family had the funeral on the 8th.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I guess she appeared in several episodes of Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
She apparently, her most standout one was something called The Visit with Santa. And in the sketch, she plays a young girl visiting Santa, who is Kenan Thomas, and she tells Santa that coal is a dying industry, receiving a fist bump from Santa's elf, Kate McKinnon.
Okay.
So.
Don't remember that one.
No.
No.
Well, that sucks. 13.
Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah, points for visitor. That she wanted people to donate to Broadway Cares fundraiser fighting HIV and AIDS. She was only 13. She's not going to get to experience having a family of her own. Oh, what a downer. But God gained a beautiful angel.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
13's too young.
And what loving God would do that to a family?
Hey, preaching to the choir, pal.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, good stuff. So what do you know about the Snyder Cut of Justice League? I keep seeing more and more articles popping up on this thing.
So there is I guess it's a substantiated rumor. I guess multiple people say that they have seen the original vision for Justice League.
Uh-huh.
There have been reports that Jason Momoa had seen the original cut, that one of the composers had seen the cut to start working on music.
Yep.
And that there was a detailed production report that came out that said when Zack Snyder's daughter died, they were in picture lock, which means they had edited the entire film and the film was going to start to go out for color timing and visual effects and all the stuff that goes into that part of post-production. And that is when Warner Brothers stepped in, and when Zach stepped down to deal with his family, that's when they brought in Joss Whedon and decided that they were going to try. They made the decision to cut the film from two films to one, because originally it was going to be a two-part film, and Superman wasn't going to come back until part two. And that's when all the reshoots happened. That's when the whole mustache gate thing happened. But there's been an online movement ever since Justice League came out to see what the original vision was. People are very interested to know, because Zack Snyder had a completed vision for multiple movies. And it started in Batman v Superman, where he has that dream about him in the future fighting Superman, and Superman being the right hand of Galactus.
Okay.
The big bad is.
And
like the way that Snyder tells the story is that he was going to have a moment where Lois Lane dies because of the because of the actions of Batman. And that breaks up a resurrected Superman to the point where he goes and does the bidding of the bad guy. And that's why you see the soldiers with the Superman emblems on their shoulders, and he's kind of commanding them. And so all of this was to play out over the three films of the two of Batman v Superman and the two Justice League films. And there's the scene in Batman v Superman where the Flash comes like out of like a portal. And he's like, no, we're too early. It hasn't happened yet, or whatever. Was all going to be explained. And they were going to try to, like, I guess, tie it all up at the end to where it was almost like a flashpoint paradox, where things would get reset at the end so that that future didn't happen. And even if you want to say that there was no visual effects done for the Snyder cut, the fact is that everything was shot and everything was edited together. Minus visual effects.
Okay.
So there is a cut of this that exists, and it's people put this on the same platform as very famously before Superman 2 was made, they fired Richard Donner. And they, I guess it was like 10 years ago, they put out a disc called the Richard Donner cut of the film. Where they re-edited his version with, I think they ended up using like rehearsal footage or something, to cover scenes that, they didn't have shot. And it's not that it's a better version of the film, but it's just a different take on a story that you already know. And people have been trying to push Warner Brothers to release a version of the Snyder cut so that people can see what Zack's vision actually was. So that's, and it's been gaining momentum. I don't think Warner Brothers is going to release it.
You
know, unless they really think that they can make a lot of money off of it, but they're going to have to put money into it. So I'm not sure that that'll ever come to light.
It's interesting that there are alternative versions of movies that may or may not be better. And that, you know, it's like, I'm sure if there was a George Lucas cut of The Force Awakens,
People would want to see it.
It would be something. Yeah. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't just release it in its raw form as like part of an anniversary disc or something. It's like here it is, because other studios have released, animatics and rough cuts of films on Criterion Collection and so forth.
Right. Warner Brothers has been very hush hush about it, as far as like they won't admit that the cut actually exists. They say what you saw in the theater was what it was always intended to be, and we know that's
Right.
not true because they had to go back and reshoot a ton of it.
Right.
They changed. Did you see Justice League?
I did.
Okay. So everybody wants to shit on Steppenwolf.
Yes.
That Steppenwolf was a horrible digital character.
Right.
And what those people don't understand is through most of post-production, he looked completely different. There's a cut scene, it might be at the end of Batman v Superman, with Lex Luthor in like this liquid. And Steppenwolf is a digital projection behind him.
Okay.
And he looks alien. He doesn't have a human face. It's more towards what he is in the comic books. And Warner Brothers saw that and said, we're not going to sell toys off of that. We want a human face. And the animators had 3 weeks between the time that they were told to do it and the time that the movie was released.
Right.
3 weeks in order to do it, and people want to shit on it because it doesn't look as good as Thanos. And it's like,
Right.
you got to cut these people some slack. Like, they were dealing with that. They were dealing with Mustache Gate. They were dealing with all the other visual effects that they had to change because Warner Brothers was trying to compete with the Marvel MCU that was having like more fun in their movies. And that's why they brought Joss Whedon in, because he's the dude that made the Avengers, so he can make the Justice League instead of just believing in Zack's initial vision, which he sold them and they bought as a group of movies.
Sure.
And I'm not the biggest Zack Snyder fan. I think left to his own devices, he can't tell a good story. When he has a good producer behind him, you get 300, or you get Man of Steel. When
Right.
he's left to his own devices, you get Sucker Punch and you get Batman v Superman,
Right.
which are not good movies. But if you're going to try to tell a story that connects together with your biggest characters, you need to let the dude do it. And I would love to see I'd like to see the Snyder cut just to see how different it actually is.
Sure.
Because there are things that get changed and make no sense in the Justice League when people are talking about things. You're like, but that's not really making a like that doesn't make sense within the grand scheme of the rest of the film.
Right.
And they were just leftovers. And it was another one of those things, like when you see the perfect world of shit that Warner Brothers gave to DC, they were told it had to be under 2 hours, instead of like 2.5, which is what they were shooting for,
Right.
because they wanted more showings during the day.
Right.
And they also wanted it out before Christmas of whatever year that was it came out, because if they managed to get it out by Christmas, the outgoing heads of Warner Brothers would get bonuses.
Oh. And that clearly demonstrates why movie making is so screwed up these days.
Yeah.
It's all about selling toys. It's all about people who aren't really connected to the filmmaking process, making bank off of it.
Right. It's all about return on investment. It's all about
Right.
what they feel they can make back,
Sure.
which is why I don't remember what director it was, but I remember listening to an interview with somebody where they were talking about like what it's like to try to cast people in movies these days. And you have to go to a studio, and if you're not trying to put Chris Pratt or Robert Downey Jr. or somebody that's like super bankable in there, right, you have to go to them with like how many Instagram followers they have and how many followers they have on Twitter and right, what their last three movies did and how did they affect that bottom line before they'll cast somebody. And it's like, well, why can't you just cast the best actor for the role?
Oh, no, 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 no. We don't do that.
Like, that's the shit that blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's, and you know, I'm sure you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it either. But, like, they were just talking about how this newest Terminator film tanked. And
right,
and how even with the original creator, James Cameron, back on board as a producer, the studios still don't know what people want in a Terminator film.
Right.
That they have designed this so that, much like the Star Wars stuff, they're trying to hand it to a younger generation so that they can keep making movies and making money off of the Terminator franchise instead of telling a decent story. And, you know, you're talking about toys. One of the things that I was kind of shocked about was going to the stores, with like Christmas coming up, mm-hmm, and the Star Wars toy aisle is a shadow of its former self from,
oh, yeah,
just like two movies ago.
Yep.
Like when The Force Awakens came out, there was all kinds of shit. There was like two aisles worth of merchandise at Toys R Us.
And some stores are still trying to unload the Constable Zuvio action figures.
Exactly. But walking into a Target and seeing that there's like three things related to Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
And nothing else. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, I think part of it is that the retailers are really gun shy about purchasing too much product.
Okay.
Because they were stuck with so many dogs. Which is sad because you can't find this shit and you then have to go, you know, online and pay a premium price and shipping and all that stuff.
Right.
Instead of just walking down the toy aisle and picking up what you want.
Right. And I know that they had released stuff for the Mandalorian TV show, but you can't find any, yep, of that stuff. They're not carrying any of that in any of these.
Again, that was part of, they had Triple Force Friday.
Right.
Where all this new shit came out. And I mean, this year retailers weren't even doing events for it. You know, last year Target, Walmart and stuff, if they weren't open 24 hours, were opening at midnight for 2 hours to sell this stuff.
Right.
And this year I bought everything online except for the Mandalorian figure because it was sold out. And I went to my Target down the block that opened at 8 a.m. and they had one box of them, total of six. And I was number five in line.
Jesus.
And thankfully, everybody ahead of me just bought one. Nobody were assholes buying the whole box and then saying, screw you, you know, I'll sell it to you for $30. But yeah, you can't find this stuff. Yet there's garbage from past movie releases. It's like, how many goddamn Kylo Ren and Rey action figures do you need?
Or
she's got two outfits. He's got one.
Yeah. What's the one that I keep seeing? The dude that Benicio del Toro played in The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's all over the place, and it's like, yeah, why did you think that would be the one that would sell well?
Right.
Like, those are all over the place. It's, mm-hmm, like the Constable's Zuvio thing where, like, that, right, character's not even in the film.
Right.
And they cut that at the last minute, and now they're stuck with all these toys.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, But when you look at like what's out there for Frozen, or
Frozen is, well, because little girls make their daddies buy all this shit. You know that.
But like even the Harry Potter stuff, they're not making Harry Potter films anymore. But there is brand new merchandise of toys and dolls, yep, and fake owls and all this kind of shit that, uh-huh, is flying off the shelves. And it's like, what happened to Star Wars?
Right.
I mean, Star Wars is what made the collecting craze happen.
Oh, exactly.
And now it's kind of dead. And I don't know. It's just, it's weird. Because I'm like, oh, I'll go in and see what they have for Star Wars toys. And it's like, oh, they don't have anything.
They have nothing.
They have a bunch of the Black Series boxes, but it's all, like you said, Rey and...
Yeah, it's...
Poe Dameron and fucking... the Benicio del Toro guy.
Right.
And then you look at the littler figures. The, what are they, like 6-inch?
Yep.
And they're like $10 now.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what the fuck, man?
Yep.
And they don't even look good. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's yeah.
I mean, I see certain things. So we have a store here called Ollie's, which is a...
Oh, yeah. Big Lots kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. But it's all like, yeah, closeout shit.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, what, we got a couple of those, what, but they're in really shitty neighborhoods.
What Big Lots was before they decided to like sell like first run stuff.
Yeah.
But they had a bunch of Star Wars black box figures, and I was able to find like a Captain Phasma and a, they have like a Commander Rex one.
Yes. Yeah.
They were $5
like
a piece.
$5? Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this I can deal with. But it, within that pile of things, you had to go through all the Rays and all the, mm-hmm, fucking Benicio del Toro ones, and like, oh, there's a Captain Phasma. Okay, I haven't seen that since like the original release. Okay,
right.
You know, so there is ways to find this shit, but
yeah, there's another store called Five Below.
Yeah,
yep. That gets them once in a while.
Yeah, I think I bought my Shore Trooper one from Five Below.
Hmm.
Which, if anybody doesn't have a Five Below by them, it's a store where everything is $5 or less.
Right.
Which is a great place to pick up like lightning charging cables for your iPhone.
Yes.
Because, yes, they'll do like 10-foot cables for $5.
Yep.
So if you've never been into a Five Below, go check it out. I'm not chilling, yes, for Five Below. I'm just saying.
Yes. So here was some interesting news that popped up in the past week.
What's up?
You see that James Dean is appearing in a new movie?
Yes, I did. And people are going nuts over this.
Yeah. It's... I don't agree with this. If you're dead, you're dead. There's no real reason to bring you back in a brand new role.
Right.
I think it's fine if it's a vintage nostalgic kind of thing. Like it's, you know, a Ray-Bans commercial that reuses old footage or something.
Right.
But I don't know. The directors are getting a lot of flack for it. And they said that the estate of James Dean has approved it. It's like, well, it's run by two cousins of his father. It's not like it's, you know, a direct descendant. It's like, where do you draw the line? Because I remember like one of the first things I saw, well, there were two. One was an episode of Tales from the Crypt that featured Humphrey Bogart.
Right.
And then the other was that... Was it a Dirt Devil commercial with Fred Astaire dancing with a vacuum?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So, okay, there's a precedent. And then we get into the, you know, Carrie Fisher at the end of Rogue One.
Well, and you also deal with the whole Grand Moff Tarkin thing.
Right.
Where you've literally had to go and say to his family, hey, we want to recreate this character.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I understand them wanting to somehow incorporate Tarkin into Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's touching Star Wars A New Hope, and if he's not in it, then, you know, you're like, well, why is he there in Star Wars and not in Rogue One?
Sure, since it's the same time.
Right. Did they use him too much? Maybe.
Yeah.
It might have been better if it was more sparingly used, and they had more time to work on the facial animation,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. But I mean, it's James Dean is an interesting pull, because how many people alive today that go to the movies on a regular basis know who James Dean is?
Or yes. Was? Yes.
And, you know, I know, like, in this article that I'm looking at, this attorney and business agent for the James Dean's family called him perhaps the greatest actor of all time. Really?
No, because he only made, what, 3 movies? He made more than that.
He was in a bunch of TV shows.
Yes.
Most of his IMDb is TV shows and TV movies. He only really starred in
two. East of Eden and Giant.
And Rebel Without a Cause.
Oh, 3. So 3. There it is. Which also starred Jim Backus.
Mr. Magoo.
Think about that one, kids.
Yeah.
You should look it up.
And
Thurston Howell III.
And Thurston Howell III. So, yeah.
And Natalie Wood.
Rest her soul.
So saying that he's the greatest actor of all time is like, really?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have this huge body of work.
He died at 24, and like, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the legend of James Dean is bigger than James Dean, the actor.
Yeah, because it's that Rebel Without a Cause,
right?
Kind of like,
and he died in a fiery car crash, and,
right? In a sports car, yeah. And yeah,
exactly.
Yep. So, yeah, calling him
the
greatest of all time is a bit of a stretch. I'm sure that there are plenty of actors that would dispute that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Steve Guttenberg. Right there, right off the top. So many better actors.
Steve Guttenberg, Stanley, greatest of all time.
That's right. Right up there with William Catt.
Oh, now there's a deep cut.
Yep.
There's, if somebody doesn't know who William Catt is, go check out Greatest American Hero.
That's right. I'm sure it's playing on one of the 4,000 cable channels you have.
Because it's cheap.
Yes.
So, is he actually starring in this film?
No, he's a supporting character.
Okay. And is it James Dean playing James Dean? Or is
no,
it
he's playing he's a role.
Then why use him?
Exactly. It's like you couldn't cast anyone for this role. And it's a Vietnam movie. It's like, okay, so how many people go into the movies today remember Vietnam?
Right, right, yeah.
So you've got a topic that people aren't really interested in, with an actor that people aren't really interested in, and then you have the nerve to say it's not a gimmick. Of course it's a goddamn gimmick.
So it's a movie
it's called very weird.
Finding Jack. Film is based on the abandonment of more than 100,000 military dogs at the end of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm. He plays the dog.
He plays a character called Rogan, considered a secondary lead role.
Yep.
We searched high and low for the perfect character to portray the role of Rogan, which has some extreme complex character arcs. And after months of research, we decided on James Dean. Anton Ernst, a director of the film, told The Hollywood Reporter. Although Finding Jack will be live action, the publication says that Dean's performance will be produced via full body CGI using actual footage and photographs of the actor.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds fucking terrible. There's no way that you're going to get a James Dean performance out of a CGI full body.
Especially without the reference.
Yeah.
It's not like he shot this and they're trying to resurrect the footage.
Right.
Like he never played this role.
Or are they going to try to cobble together shit that he already shot?
Right.
And just rotoscope him out and then like color correct it to make it look like he fits in the scene.
See, I don't know. I don't get it. If you've written a role that cannot be played, then maybe you need to take another direction. Just saying. I mean, it's not like they're making him a CGI cat that sings.
Right.
Which I would probably pay money for.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it's. It's very weird. Like, going back to the Rogue One thing. They probably could have gotten somebody that kind of looked like, why am I blanking on his name now?
Stanley Tucci.
No.
James Dean.
No, the Grand Moff Tarkin, the guy who actually played him.
Oh, Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing. They could have probably found somebody that looked enough like Peter Cushing to get the point across. But being that it's Industrial Light and Magic and it's being Star Wars and the family was okay with it, I could see them pushing those limits. And everybody will say that we're still in the uncanny valley with this stuff and it's not 100%. And I think we've even talked about that recently of like how we're still not there. Like as soon as somebody speaks that's digital, you know it. And
oh yeah, because the lip flap is never good.
No, they never get the mouths right, even with technology where they're filming the actor's mouth and trying to mm-hmm. recreate his mouth movements, you get Tron Legacy.
Sure.
And that didn't look good at all. I dare to say that maybe the Peter Cushing was amongst the best we had ever come close to.
Sure.
And it's still not 100%.
Right.
So I don't see how they're going to get, although they said, and I haven't seen the movie, but that Gemini Man film with Will Smith was a CG character.
Right.
And that was done pretty well. So maybe we've rounded that corner.
But it's a Will Smith movie.
Right. Right. And it's an action scene and...
Right.
They're probably not talking that much. And I don't know. Yeah, this is a really weird pull. Like,
yeah.
Of all the people that they could have brought back for this, the idea of like, well, we looked high and low, and the only person that we could think of for this role was James Dean.
Right.
So there's not another actor alive today that's 24 that could possibly fill this role in a good way.
Zac Efron wasn't available. Adam Devine.
At Adam Devine.
Yeah.
Or, hey, here's an idea. How about you get an unknown to do it and maybe make a career for somebody?
Well, because the two directors are unknown.
Right. Well, and there's the problem is that then they're trying to sell this picture to Hollywood who wants a return on investment.
Right.
And you run into that thing like we were talking about before.
There you go.
So who's more bankable than a recreated James Dean? Like if he's the greatest actor
anybody
to ever live.
Anybody is more bankable than James Dean.
The family gets $1 million,
great
right?
Steve Guttenberg. He is available. Is he though? He's on Schooled right now.
Okay. Well, okay. He's
TV
busy.
So that's after the Goldbergs. Oh. So physically, he's available. Robert Hayes. Haven't seen him in a while. Oh, Tim Matheson.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, there's plenty of people.
But they'd have to de-age all those people.
Well, that's what they just did with The Irishman.
No, that's true.
Some guy with an eraser going over Robert De Niro's face.
Apparently, in the new Terminator film, there is also a de-age sequence that they say is done really well, too.
Yeah.
Doesn't save the movie, but apparently that's one of the standout moments of the film.
Okay, so good. So we're getting to a point where it's more passable than it's been in the past.
Right.
Why? I can see with Star Wars wanting to reconnect with those characters as you're trying to move the story forward.
Right.
I can't see a brand new movie that needs to have these people recreated.
Right. And within the context of a story, like what Marvel has done with the de-aging stuff, or even the aging stuff where they make somebody look older, it's all within, right. It's all within the means of the story.
Right.
Like you get young, I'm blanking on names today. The guy that was an Ant-Man. Who played Hank Pym?
Paul Rudd?
No. Michael Douglas.
Who played who?
Michael Douglas.
Hank Pym? Yeah, Hank Douglas. Pym.
Yeah. So you have a younger de-age version of him because there's a piece of the story that's set in the 80s. That I get because you're wanting that same person, that same performance.
Sure.
And it all works that way. But to resurrect somebody like James Dean just because you can't find a decent actor, there's still going to have to be some kind of reference to animate this shit to.
Sure.
And
you still need somebody to physically act the role.
Yeah.
If you think you're going to do it with, your cursor and a digital pad, you're insane because you're not going to do it. You're not going to be successful.
And it's, and especially in CGI, like there's an argument to be made that the effectiveness of animated movies, of hand-drawn animated movies, comes from the animators.
Sure.
Because they're looking and they're doing the expressions in a mirror and then they're copying those.
Right.
But like from everything that I've heard from people who have seen the new Lion King movie is that it sucks because they made the animals too real and there's no expressions.
Right.
You're not getting the sorrow when Mustafa dies.
Mufasa,
whatever. the big
Mustafa.
One, whatever. So you're not getting that from Simba. Like,
right.
It's too stoic and because the animators can't do that and they sure as hell not going to be able to do it with this.
Well, it's like those bad shows that would do, like have a photo of somebody and then would like just animate the lips with like a cross screen.
Yes.
You know, it's like, so you may as well like give a lion cub peanut butter so that his mouth is moving and then dub to that.
Yeah. It's like all those, I'm sure you've never seen them, but like my kid loves those Disney movies. They're like, it's like the buddy movies. So there's like space buddies.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Where
Air Bud and Friends
kind of, yeah. It's all, yeah. It's all dogs and their mouths move to the thing. And like,
yeah,
you can accept that because you've never seen a dog talk.
It's
so
a gimmick.
Yeah. So your mind it's isn't really saying,
Lion
okay.
King shouldn't have been a gimmick.
No,
it shouldn't have ever been made.
No, there's certain things you don't fuck with. Lion King is one of those.
Yes.
So, yeah.
You know what else you shouldn't fuck with?
What?
Fantasy Island.
Why are they remaking Fantasy Island?
They are remaking Fantasy Island by Blumhouse. And apparently you fly to the island to have Mr. Work greet your fantasy. And it turns into a nightmare. and you have to figure out the secret of the island.
So it's like a horror?
It's a horror genre.
Okay.
Yes. Why? No reason.
Okay.
No reason whatsoever.
I will say that if it was anybody but Blumhouse, I'd be right there with you. But they've done some decent stuff in the horror genre.
Sure they have. They've done some great original stuff.
Right.
Why do you have to steal this?
Because it's a name that's connected to something.
But again, how many people going to the movies today remember Fantasy Island?
Yeah, not that many.
Other than the plane boss.
Right.
You know, that's it.
Weren't there some like dark episodes of Fantasy Island?
Well, they always learned a lesson.
Right.
So what their fantasy wasn't necessarily what they really wanted.
Okay.
But it was more of, you know, and the moral of the story is beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
So was it on par with Twilight Zone?
No, it was on par with the Brady Bunch.
Okay.
That's the best way to describe it.
There's
now there was already been a remake of this starring Malcolm McDowell as Mr. Rourke.
Right.
And he had two helpers in this one. And his daughter, I believe, was one of the characters. But it was still pretty true to the original series.
Okay.
You know, you might have a story about I remember one that was two friends competing for like $1 million. And when they got to the island, they each got $1 million that they had to spend in 24 hours.
Okay.
And by the end of it, they're competing with each other and it gets a little nasty. And in the end, neither one succeeded in winning $1 million. And as a consolation, Mr. Rourke allowed them to keep one thing each that they bought. And then what happens is the one thing they save is something for the other person.
Okay.
But, you know, there's typical hijinks going on, and I don't know, it probably starred Barbie Benton or...
But you don't think... So Michael Pena is cast as Mr. Rourke.
And who's Michael Pena? Was he the father in Dora the Explorer?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and he was in Ant-Man as Lewis. He was the best, like one of the best parts of Ant-Man.
Yeah.
He's the dude, the fast-talking dude that tells all the stories.
Okay.
He's been in a ton of shit. Like he went from, like most people think of him like for comedy stuff.
Right.
But like he goes from like a comedy, like Turbo.
Uh-huh.
To Fury, which is the tank movie that's all like drama. Then he does Ant-Man, which is a comedy. Then right. He does The Martian, which is drama. And he like goes back and forth. He did Chips. He was Ponch in the Chips movie.
Oh, okay.
And then he did
with Dax Shepard.
Yes. And then he does the movie 12 Strong about the beginning of the war in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Which is a total serious movie. Like this dude is all over the place. So it's an interesting thing that like they're actually going to try to use him as Mr. Rourke.
Right.
And then after that, he's doing an adaptation of Tom and Jerry.
Ooh.
Yes, that Tom and Jerry.
Where he plays Speedy Gonzalez?
He plays somebody called Terrence.
Oh.
So is this a live action thing? I'm assuming. Oh, that's going to be weird. A live action Tom and Jerry? Where Tom apparently talks because he has a voice. Somebody has a voice credit for Tom.
They've done that before.
Did he talk?
There was a remake, a rebirth of Tom and Jerry, because at one point Tom and Jerry appeared at the Disney MGM Studios.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
that movie starred the great Rip Taylor.
Oh, Rip Taylor.
Yes. greatest actor that ever lived.
He just died, right? Didn't we talk about
him? He did just die. Yes. Mm. No more confetti.
No. So, yeah, I mean, you've had him as Mr. Rourke. You've got Maggie Q, who was in one of the Mission Impossible films.
Okay.
You've got Lucy Hale, who was in some of the Scream stuff and Pretty Little Liars for that kind of stuff. You have Michael Rooker.
Okay.
Kim Coates, who was on Sons of Anarchy and like Waterworld and a bunch of other stuff. So he's in there. Nobody is credited as Tattoo, though.
Well, who could play Tattoo?
Oh, you know what? Michael Rooker. They digitally shrink Michael Rooker.
That'd be hilarious.
Yo, I'm Mary Poppins, y'all. There's a plane.
Maybe that's his fantasy.
To be a little
person? They turn him into Mary Poppins. See, I just don't see a need for this. You can still do a movie about a magical island that grants people's wishes.
Just not call it Fantasy Island.
Just not call it Fantasy Island. Call it freaking Islands of Fantasy if you're that stupid.
Do you think what they were worried about is instead of doing a thing called Fantasy Island and saying, look, this is just a horror adaptation of the TV show,
right?
That they do this and then they're saddled with, well, this is just a Fantasy Island ripoff.
Isn't everything a ripoff today?
It is, but there's a definite disconnect in people's brains. If you say, oh, this is an adaptation of something, they're more likely to go see it than if you were to say, hey, this is a ripoff of Fantasy Island.
Mm.
So I wonder if that's the thinking of it. And like they went and like they were able to purchase the rights. So why not?
Yeah, I guess.
So you go to the island and your fantasy is to be a little person.
Yes.
And so they like cut your arms and legs off.
Ooh.
And sew them back on, but like little
spooky
T-Rex arms. And then like little stubby legs.
Yes.
But now we're getting into like Kevin Smith Tusk.
Yeah.
Crap. And I don't want to see one of those.
No.
No. No. So I don't think that Fantasy Island is something I would go see in the theater, mm-hmm. per se, but I might go see it like on Redbox or, you know, one of those.
Okay.
So the director of this movie, of Fantasy Island, was a producer on Bates Motel. He directed Kick-Ass 2, but then he directed Memoirs of the International Assassin in 2016 that was the spy vehicle for Kevin James. You probably don't remember this.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so he's got a weird track record.
Bizarre.
Yeah. He's been working on a TV show called Ryan Hansen Solves Crimes on Television. Apparently, that's supposed to came out this year.
Oh.
In a world where Hollywood actors can partner up with real cops to solve crimes on their shows, a no-nonsense cop is forced to team up with an airheaded actor, Ryan Hansen, for his new YouTube premium crime reality show, Meta Sitcom. And this stars nobody you'd ever... Oh, it's got John Cryer in it.
Well, there you go.
But he is literally like 5 or 7 or 8 people down the list. So Ryan Hansen is an actual person. So this is a... Was it a YouTube thing? This might have been a YouTube video or series that this dude produced that takes place on YouTube. That's so fucked up. Yes, it was a YouTube series on YouTube Red.
That's a thing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's if you want to pay $10 a month and get their original programming.
Ugh.
So the series featured a who's who of stars playing bizarro versions of themselves, including Joel McHale, Donald Faison, Eric Christian Olsen, John Cryer, and Kristen Bell.
Okay.
Kristen Bell will do anything, apparently.
Yeah.
Like, she is all over the place. She's bouncing back and forth.
Well, her show's coming to an end, well, so.
But, like, so on hers, she's got, I guess they did a new season of Veronica Mars this year.
Yep.
She did Frozen 2. The Good Place is coming to an end. Then she's got a movie called Queen Pins, a TV show called Central Park. She's in the series Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
And they just announced her doing a voiceover for something called Do Re Mi. So, like, she will do anything, apparently.
Well, good for her.
And Do-Re-Mi is the musical adventures of three bird friends who live in a world filled with rhythm, beats, and melodies.
Mm.
Do you think that that was the elevator pitch?
It's a hard pass for me. Sorry.
I'd have to hear more. Like, there was that weird... you don't have kids, so you've probably never seen it, but there was a... There was a TV show where all the music was Beatles songs. It was a cartoon for kids.
Okay.
And the whatever they were would sing Beatles songs for every episode.
Hmm.
I have to figure out the name of this. It was called Beat Bugs.
Never heard of it.
So, okay, it was on Netflix. And every episode had songs that it was like they'd sing Help or All You Need Is Love or Come Together, Penny Lane, Yellow Submarine. And it would be like the theme of the theme of whatever episode it was. So, and you had character names like Lucy the Dragonfly and Doris the Spider.
Okay. She was my favorite.
Alex the Stink Bug.
And Steve Gutenberg.
You really want Steve Gutenberg to make a comeback, don't you?
I do. I thought he was great in Cocoon. And Cocoon 2.
And yeah.
Or I think that was called Cocoon.
Cocoon?
Cocoon.
Yeah, when you realize that, like, Wilford Brimley was only in, like, in his 40s when they made Cocoon, you were like, holy shit, he looks so much older. Because he was always the diabetes guy.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
And the Quaker Oats guy.
And the Quaker Oats guy, yep. Ah, the past. All right, you got anything else for this week?
No, I think that was enough.
All right, well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is Steve Gutenberg.
Have a good week.
That's all you're getting.
You don't have, like, a cool Steve Gutenberg line for the end?
No.
No? Mahoney!
Yeah.